telecoms agreed that they would not turn on any of the 5G antennas within 3 miles of an airport.
This is APA Communications Director Greg Overman, back with another edition of 5x5. So, problems, big problems associated with the planned rollout of 5G in the United States have made global headlines during the past several days. To help us make sense of where things stand, we have APA President Captain Eric Ferguson and First Officer John DeLu, who chairs our safety committee, with us here today.
Hey, thank you for that intro, Mr. Overman, and glad to have you with us, FO DeLu, again, longtime APA safety chair. So you've been very, very busy the last few days dealing with 5G issues. In fact, not just the last few days, but actually the last few weeks, but it certainly came to a head on January 19 at midnight when 5G was supposed to go live. It did not go live, at least within 3 miles of many airports, but there were safety concerns, and that has led to a tremendous amount of additional workload for our safety committee, the safety counterparts at the company. It has been a mad scramble from a crisis, I will say this, not of the company's making, not of APA's making, but at this moment, reason has prevailed, it appears. But take us current. So it is right now 1600 in DFW on January 20, 2022. John, what is the state of play right now?
Thank you, Eric, and I appreciate the introduction also to you, Greg. So here's where we are right now. So on the 19th, the American Airlines was a Category 1 airline only, Cat 1 only. And it was primarily because of the potential interference of the 5G antennas that were being operated by both AT&T and Verizon near the airports. There was no comfort between FAA as well as the manufacturers that we could operate safely doing anything low altitude like Cat 2 or Cat 3 approaches and to be safe. And so we put restrictions in. The company did, working with APA Safety. We actually had some of our pilots go in the simulator this past weekend to verify some of the stuff from the manufacturers. But the bottom line is, in the interest of safety, we restricted our airline to a Cat 1 operation only. However, as the day went on, the telecoms agreed that they would not turn on any of the 5G antennas within 3 miles of an airport. And to clarify that, that means 3 miles from the end of any runway at that airport. So kind of like the TERPS diagrams you see on our charts, anything that fell within 3 miles of the approach of any runway, they turned off those antennas. So what that did for the airline is that now, because the FAA, so let me clarify one thing too, the FAA, only the FAA and the telecoms know where the towers are at. Manufacturers don't know. I mean, Boeing doesn't know, Airbus, American doesn't know. So we're relying on the FAA to do that. And so they've shut down with the telecoms. There will be no 5G antennas within 3 miles at the end of any airport runway. And that worked out to be about 82 airports in the United States. So because of that, what changed was that the restrictions that were put on the 19th have been removed. And so you saw some flurry of messaging come out on the 19th, late on the 19th, including from APA. And so on the 20th today, for the 737s, 787s, and 777s, we are a full airline, Cat 2, Cat 3 capable. You can fly every approaches. And that's because even though the NOTAMs are still there at your airport, we've received from the FAA an alternative method of compliance, which means that the AMOCs that we refer to is because the 5G antennas are not on within 3 miles of the airports. And so because that change, the company, rightfully so, said, okay, we can fly safely to these places. And so that's where we are right now for the Boeing fleet. Let me just address the Airbus fleet. The Airbus fleet is going through the same feature right now. The FAA is working through their tool that they use to determine the safety features for these airports. On the 20th today, as Eric mentioned, 1600 DFW time, I anticipate probably late tonight or maybe tomorrow, an AMOC for the same thing for a number of our Airbus aircraft. So they will also be able to fly all approaches just like we've been trained. There may be a small subset of Airbus aircraft that may not be able to fly these. It'll be Cat 1 restricted. And I won't know that until we get the information from the company. So, Eric, that's where we are right now.
Okay. That's very helpful. So I want to point something out here. There is now it has been brought fairly current, FAA.gov/5G website. We posted that on the need to know section of the APA website right up front. Prominent. It's something to refer to. And on that, as of today, it was updated to say that 78% of the U.S. commercial fleet is now approved They have models with one of the 13 cleared radio altimeters, and that includes, as FO DeLue just mentioned here, basically all Boeing aircraft, everything that might be in the sky except for the 727 at the moment. It looks like MD-10, MD-11, and then it says all Airbus A300, 310, 19, 20, 21, 330, 40, A350, 380, great. And then some Embraer 170 and 190 regional jets. My point on that is, that is what the FAA.gov/5G website says. It looks like we can anticipate clearance, but at the same time, it's up to the operator and technical ops and everybody to verify that our aircraft, our fleet, which in the Airbus fleet here, as we know, it's got airplanes from all over and all sorts of backgrounds with slightly different equipment. So the company is going, and correct me if I'm wrong here, they're going through to aircraft by aircraft to make sure that every one of these airplanes is actually compliant, has the proper radar altimeter, not to be that is not interfered with in a way that would degrade safety, given the fact that these antennas are not turned on within 3 miles of the airport. Is that
that's correct? Point? That's correct. And so the hazard that was identified, which was the 5G antennas, since they've been all turned off or not even turned on, quite frankly, within 3 miles of the airport, that hazard has been reduced. But to your point, because we have to get the AMOCs, the alternative means of compliance, there are certain radio altimeters that may not fit. So there are three radio altimeter manufacturers, Thales, Collins, and Honeywell. And to your point a little bit earlier, we think that almost all the Airbus aircraft we currently own will be able to fit into that AMOC. One of the questions I've received, a couple questions received today is, okay, John, what about these airports? But what about our alternates? So we've gone through, the company's gone through all the alternates and diversion fields. There are actually four airports that have NOTAMs that we do not have this AMOC for. And the company's not going to use those as alternate fields now. So they have other plans in place. So when you fly, you should feel comfortable knowing that you can continue flying like we were able to do 48 hours ago with no restriction. You should have no concerns on your navigational capabilities. I don't want our pilots to have some sort of angst that something's going to happen. At the end of the day, it's going to be ops normal as before. And your alternates will also have the same ability to have these AMOCs that are going to be applied so that they don't. So nobody's going to flight plan you to a place where you're going to have to do these, you know, strange procedures and operations that we had to put out, unfortunately, on the 19th. Yes, sir.
Okay, excellent. So again, you just said as of today, American has received the AMOC and has published it to our pilots for all the Boeing fleet. We are on standby, anticipating the Airbus fleet. People will be notified when and how, we don't know when for sure, but you anticipate this evening. How will they be notified to know that their restrictions are lifted by way of the AMOC? How will they know that?
There'll be a CCI that'll be pushed out again. I'm not sure that the company is going to do another read and acknowledge. They may. I suspect they might, just in the interest of safety, so that nobody feels like they didn't have the latest information. The big thing on that is to make sure if you get a read and acknowledge or you see more information that before you fly, to always resync your iPad. That's really critical because the new bulletins will get resynced and put in and be the four view. So right now, for instance, on the 7-3, it's bulletin number B. And for the Airbus, it's going to be bulletin A or B. So you have to make sure you resync your iPad to have the latest fleet bulletins. But I do anticipate this, that most Airbus aircraft will be fully capable to fly all the approaches in the United States without worry from any of the pilots. Probably with the next, hopefully this evening, but certainly by tomorrow. And that'll help, you know, the operation and feel like you can go anywhere else and feel assured that you're not going to have an alternate that you could not fly into with this AMOC.
Okay, John, thank you very much for that. So now we know the current state of play as of January 20, anticipating what's going to happen later today and beyond until perhaps that they do turn on these antennas within 3 miles. But let's talk about what it actually means and how it affected our aircraft and how we got here and why we had such severe limitations on what were formerly all-weather airplanes that then were suddenly constrained out of the blue. It was shocking to folks. So tell us, just give us a little history. This is nice to know stuff, but it is important because there are distinctions because our members have been flying all over the world in places where their phone sometimes says 5G on it. And there seems to be confusion about why that is. Would you walk us through that, please?
You bet. I'm glad to do that. So there is the question. So what happened? All of a sudden, we've got this. I mean, people have said, well, they've been having 5G in France. They've got it in Canada. They've got it in Japan. So a couple differences. The frequencies in a lot of the European countries are not the same frequency range that the telecoms in the United States got. And to be clear, this was the telecoms of AT&T and Verizon. That's kind of important to know later as I go on with this discussion here. So Japan is the only other country that had a frequency band similar to the frequency band here in the United States. So like we've been talking 5G. 5G stands for fifth generation. It's not going to stop there. A couple of years, we'll have 6G, we're going to have 7G, possibly 8G. So the issue with this is that this 5G C band is right next to the frequency of the current radio altimeters in aircraft. So the reason that it wasn't so much issue in France and other places, they call it the French model, because their antennas were pointed a little differently. But more importantly, the biggest thing was the power level. So in France, roughly, versus the U.S., it's 98% less power in France than what was proposed here in the United States. We've got a lot more area to cover. We've got more antennas. At the end of the day, the 5G is critical, but it's going to be really good for us as citizens of the United States when it's at full power level. And the concern was is that they went to full power, that frequency could bleed through the radio altimeters. So then, of course, as pilots, we know we don't need that bleeding through and affecting our radio altimeter as we fly and approach or even we take off, because a lot of the airplane systems are affected. So ironically, you should know, on the Boeing aircraft, the radio altimeter is really critical to the airplane. That's how the plane was certified. So things like thrust reverser deployment, tail strike protection, EGPWS, that's all dependent on a radar altimeter on a Boeing aircraft. Why the difference with Airbus? So interestingly enough, things like a thrust reverser's coming out and being able to be deployed when you land. On a Boeing, that's based on radio altimeter reading zero or something to that effect. Airbus, it's the weight on wheel switches. So the WOW switch, the weight on wheel squat switches, that determines on an Airbus, hey, now you can use thrust reversers, ground spoilers will work, those type of things. So there was a design difference, an engineering difference between Airbus and Boeing aircraft. One uses weight on wheels, Boeing uses radar altimeter. And so the radar altimeter, for instance, on the 787 affects 18 different systems. And to be fair to the FAA, their concern was at full power, there could be some safety implications. And we as pilots we're not planned to be test pilots, and we don't need to have an accident to discover that, hey, the power levels are too high. So that's why all the communication coming out, and that's why the interest from everybody, including the FAA, our airline, our labor association, saying, hey, look, we can't fly safely like this. So the telecoms recognize it, and that's why they brought the power levels way back initially, to the point where now they said we can't even turn them on within 3 miles from the airport, which is where we want to be. I did get questions from pilots today, just so you know, and that's what I mentioned earlier. The person called me and says, hey, John, I'm at this airport. You told me it's got the AMOC, and I got my phone on it. It says 5G on it. What's up with that? So to be fair, I asked them what service provider he had. It was T-Mobile. So it's only AT&T and Verizon that have the antennas that are shut off for the airport. Now, if you're near an airport and you have an AT&T phone, it says 5G, you could be picking up a cell tower somewhere else, possibly outside the 3 mile range. We have to trust and verify through the FAA that the towers in fact are shut down. And that's why it's still critically important that as you fly approaching anywhere, if you see any kind of radar altimeter anomalies, it's highly important that you call the APA emergency hotline so we can collect the data, have you file an ASAP, search pilot debrief, because we do have to collect the data. Because we do have concerns that, hey, did somebody throw the switch and then forget to turn it off? But it hasn't happened yet, but we worry about that.
Gentlemen, highly informative. No doubt we'll be hearing more about the issue of 5G in the weeks to come. That's it for now. Thank you for listening.